Good afternoon and welcome, everybody. This would be the Jeff Cameron Show right here on 93.3 Real Talk Radio and War Chant TV. At least I think we are. I think we're on. There we are.
Now yeah, we start there after the music. People haven't been welcomed yet.
Oh, man. You can find us on Twitter at Jay Cameron Show. I'm Jeff. That's Tom. That's Director Matthew. All right, I'm waiting. I'm gonna let it ring down so everybody can get in here. Here we go. Now we're all right. I know it was a hustle. Just was like, okay, we probably can't play the whole song.
That's true. Every day though, they gotta wait. So like sometimes they come in when you're doing the.
No, I know they gotta wait, but usually there's a little spiel. Thing that's like, hey, we're getting started in about 5 minutes. Oh man! All right. It's Redemption Thursday. We take a deep breath. We're all good to go. I had a fun early morning doing a preview for the Arkansas-Texas game, by the way. Just because they've sold out there at Arkansas for the first time in 4 years, they have not sold out. Wu-Pig-Sui is pumped for this game.
Is that? Wow, in 4 years?
Yeah, they haven't sold out in 4 years, and it's the first time. Well, think about the level of suck that Arkansas has gone through. It's not unlike Doak Campbell Stadium. It's not like that place is selling out every other day with the ass sorry product we've produced. So a lot of teams throughout the country are in a similar position. Texas and Arkansas and Florida State and schools trying to fight their way back to prominence. And it's I mentioned this on yesterday's show that it's interesting to talk to other fan bases or people who cover these other teams to get a sense of what their fans are hoping for, expecting, where they are in the process of rebounding. It's hard for us this week because this is a game that is, obviously Jacksonville State is not a competitive football game. And we're on the heels of a game that everybody was excited to see and ready to buy into and jump in. And they did. But it also created, because of when it was, a short week. So it's just this, everything feels hurried. Everything feels, I don't know. It
compressed.
Well, not just compressed. I just don't know how many people we're going to. I think we're going to be a little disappointed. We're due for a huge letdown in terms of the
There will be more people, though, because it's an 8 p.m. kick.
Oh, yeah.
If it was a nooner or a 3:30, you'd have like 12 people.
Yeah, you'd have no chance if it had been a nooner. The fact that they do it at night is nice. One thing about these games that I learned a long time ago is that it is a chance within the community. A lot of free tickets, a lot of tickets given away to kids who couldn't otherwise go to the game. I know because my wife works in the school system. That's something Florida State does. I know of other networks of people, groups of people that work in different facilities that have an opportunity this weekend to take, could be old people, could be young people, could be people who are displaced for whatever reason to this game. So that part of it is nice. All right, I'll get to Florida State's practice in a second, but it is Redemption Thursday, and we got off to a incredible start, and that usually doesn't bode well for this week.
Bend over.
Yeah, it doesn't. We did. We had such a good run. It's rare that Vegas takes it on the chin 2 weeks in a row and gets buried. But it's impossible not to have, speaking of which, huge expectations when you get off to that start. I think we went 8-1 last week and Redemption Thursday, 7-1, whatever it was. So I got these bad boys out. Are you ready with the siren?
Oh, really? Okay.
Well, there's a couple.
I'm going in blind here, so I'm like the fans. I'm like the listeners and the viewers. If I hear anything strange, the siren will be broken out.
Get ready, everybody. I do see where we had a couple people make mention of some of my other games. Redemption Thursday, that plus 400 Utah to win Pac-12 South, going to look real good after their win at BYU this weekend. Yeah. They'll win that game at BYU. You're right.
Abdel calling for it in the Holy War.
BYU has got some offensive line issues, which is surprising for a school that usually houses 30-year-old men.
That's correct.
You know, yes, it's kind of surprising to see that.
Off their mission trips.
Yeah. I know that Sean, I know that Jacksonville State was competitive for a half last year. And, hey, lots of teams were very competitive, overly competitive, way too competitive against Florida State last year. A lot of teams that had no business being competitive against Florida State, let alone winning were very much in the game or running away with the game against Florida State. We'd like to believe this year is a different year, and I do think it will be. I think this will be workmanlike for Florida State. It's impossible to find a number on this game, by the way. I looked everywhere. I know in a mutual pool that we're in, they just made up a number, I think, at 25.5. I don't know where that came
what
from.
What a discount.
I'm like, okay, I'll take that.
Lock it.
Yeah. But I also think it could be one of those boring 37-10 type games, 37-13 type games where you kind of go through. And I wonder, they're not going to show a lot. Wake is really important. We've stressed this. The game against Wake is really important. I wouldn't show a lot. I would just be bigger, stronger, faster and go about my business that way and get a lot of guys in. I'd want a lot of reps for a lot of the young guys. I'd like to give guys opportunities.
Extra touches for Toa Feely, DJ Williams. Yeah, man.
Yeah. Everybody's
going to
get their
quarterbacks.
Yeah, yeah. Everybody gets to play. We're all playing.
We had
out
a very
today.
Good plan for today. We were looking to make sure we got extra reps for Chuba and Tate.
That's what you want to hear.
You wanted a full evaluation.
A little load management for some other guys.
A little deload day. Deload Saturday.
We're going to have a lot of it. All right, here you go. Redemption Thursday wagers. It's a bounce-back weekend for the ACC. NC State goes on the road to SEC country and tells Mississippi State to suck it. Give the 2.5 right off the bat. Like it.
I can feel it all the way down in my plums.
Yeah, I do. I do. I like that one. I've been on NC State. I'll stay with the ACC. Give me Pitt on the road. Come on, Narduzzi. Don't you mess this up. Against Tennessee, this should be fun.
You took the number.
Oh,
I see a lot of people betting the total, but you actually took Pitt.
I took Pitt. I think Pitt wins, and I think Pitt may win comfortably, Tom.
I can feel it all the way down in my plums.
So there you go. That's two ACC wins over two SEC teams on the road.
What a statement for Packer and Durham.
There it is.
It'll be in the C block after lacrosse and soccer coverage on
Monday.
The
whole country fell over themselves trying to kick the ACC in the balls, and I'm like, hey, guys, hey, it's week one. It happens.
We're off and running.
I meant to say boys, but, you know, I mean, good God, everybody.
In the footballs, people.
Yeah, can we settle down a little bit
here? In the footballs, everybody calm down.
Thanks, Eric, as always. So there you go. I like it. Now. Iowa +4.5, your chance to speak, Tom, versus Iowa State in the
Cy-Hawk game.
Now, the key here is a couple of things, and I'm worried a little bit on this bet. I felt better about it earlier in the week than I feel about it today.
It just did not move under 3.
I got copious notes here.
Uh-oh.
I want you to know. Well, one of my problems is the more I watch Spencer Petras, the more I think you're not good. That's the quarterback for Iowa, Tom. And he's not good. He's not good. He was average at best. Now, they play good defense, and they run the ball.
And you're catching more than a field goal.
I'm catching more than a field goal, so I'm going to do it. I'm going to take Iowa. I'm going to get my 4.5, and I'm going to hold on.
But you're not feeling it all the way down in your plums.
Not the way I was feeling it earlier in the week.
Okay.
I could see Iowa State, who looked terrible against Northern Iowa. I could see them bouncing back. They are desperate to get this win. Game day is there. The atmosphere will be intense. It's one of the games I'm really excited to watch. It'll be a very physical game. Matt Campbell has never won this game. He's 0-for so far.
He's never won the Cy-Hawk Trophy.
That is correct. He's never won the Cy-Hawk Trophy. The under has played 13-2 in the last 15 meetings.
Mm.
Iowa has won the last 5 games, as I mentioned. It's the first time Iowa's been an underdog in this game since 2000.
The first time they've been the underdog in the Cy-Hawk game.
Since 2000. I mean, if you're Iowa State, you're like, Jesus, what are we doing around here? It's not like Iowa is Ohio State. Can we get it together?
William, wait. I know it's kickoff time, but I got to see the finish of the Cy-Hawk game. It's a classic.
All right, give me the over in the Mizzou-Kentucky game. You guys listened to me last week, and you were on the over with Kentucky. Mark Stoops, I see you, buddy. I appreciate you very much going for that late touchdown. We were at the Corner Pocket Bar and Grill.
Yes, we were. Good atmosphere.
That touchdown went in. It seemed innocuous to most. And then in one little corner, one little pocket of Corner Pocket was this guy going, woo! And that's when you know it's gambling season, baby.
A lot of people turn around. They're saying,
yeah.
What's going on?
Yeah.
Oh, Campster hit another one.
Yeah, that's touchdown Kentucky. Touchdown Wildcats.
I can feel it all the way down in my plums.
I like both those quarterbacks to throw the football around the lot a little bit there, so that should be a fun game. And give me the over in that game. I also took the under 49 Washington and Michigan this weekend.
Okay, all right.
Michigan's best receiver out for the year. That's not good. Washington does play defense. Ain't going to light it up on the scoreboard. I know the trends say over. I say nay, nay. The public is wrong. We're going under 49 right here.
Buck those trends, right?
Always. Hey, this will surprise you. Another big win for the ACC. Syracuse is catching points against Rutgers. Come on, Cuse, I got you.
I can feel it all the way down in my plums.
Nice win for Syracuse last week against Ohio. They were underdogs.
That's right. They fought off the Bobcats.
Won by multiple scores. Dino Babers said, not yet. Not yet. You can't get rid of me that easy. Give me Cuse plus two. Oregon and Ohio State, I have no interest in betting the winner in this game, which will be Ohio State. I instead will go over 63. I'm going to go over 63. I think we light it up on the scoreboard.
Okay,
here.
That makes sense. Ohio yeah. State's defense was a little shaky in game one, so yeah, I see you working.
There's speed there for Oregon, and I'll go that route. I don't. By the way, you go back to that Pitt game for a second where I gave the 2.5 points to Tennessee. If you're a Vols fan listening to this, God bless you, first of all. But secondly, I would just tell you this. Joe Milton can't play. He can't play. You know, sometimes early in the year when you're just wading out in the waters to see how new coaches, new programs, new teams look with their new personnel, you want to take a look at the quarterback position. Probably a wise idea. You want to see how are they at quarterback. That's a key most days. Man, Michigan's not worried at all that Milton is not there. He's terrible. I watched that game against Bowling Green because that's what I do. And I got to tell you, Tom, that guy sucks.
Yeah, Tennessee game against Bowling Green, yeah.
Yeah, what did I say?
Michigan.
Well, he was at Michigan. He transferred to Tennessee.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah. I can understand that, too.
Yeah.
You're talking about crappy football, Michigan, Tennessee.
Right,
same
right,
difference.
Right. Yeah, crappy quarterback
same
play, same thing. Yeah. No. I meant he was awful. He's a Michigan transfer. He went 9 of 11 in the first quarter, and they're humming. Hit some big passes. You're like, Heupel's offense. They're going to score 60 points. It's Bowling Green, one of the worst football programs in the country. And I'm like, oh, well, this is easy. Now, I got lucky here with the cover because they tried to blow that. After the first quarter, my man was 2 of 13 in the remaining three quarters.
Ooh.
And sacked 3 times and fumbled. No, I didn't get it done. When Bowling Green makes an adjustment and shuts
all
you
right.
down, we got issues.
So then you're playing the picket? You're playing the picket fence offense?
You
the picket fence offense.
Yeah, you know I like
right.
him. Lord knows
yeah,
he likes.
Yeah, Kenny Pickett's a good player.
He also likes us, doesn't he? So that's,
ooh, my ankle feels better.
Yeah.
Look at this secondary.
I get to play Florida State. Okay, real quick, give me the Cal TCU under. Real big on the Cal TCU under 48 here.
That's not a siren. That's still power 5. All right, I see you.
Well, here's one for you. Air Force minus 6 versus Navy.
I can feel it all the way down to my plums.
If you're watching the interactive here, that is good. That is good.
Wow, what a surprise.
We got that in. That is good. Oh, man. Air Force minus 6 versus Navy. There you go. That's a look. Oh, one NFL game. Director Matthews, Redemption Thursday. Here you go, buddy. I took the Eagles plus 3.5 against the Atlanta Falcons. 3.5 there. Going with the Eagles.
Going with the Eagles.
They get 3.5. That's a 3. These two teams, garbage.
All right. You don't think Matty Ryan's going to go down the field with Kyle Pitts and Calvin Ridley?
Yeah, a few times. Nothing big. They suck.
Okay.
It's a garbage
Who's
Atlantic
starting
club.
For Philly? Is it going to be Hurts?
Unfortunately.
Oh,
yeah.
All right. If it was Minshew, maybe I would be in agreement with you. But
give me the 3.5. Philly keeps it close. First game of the year. Give me the 3.5. I had to sprinkle an NFL game in. I don't like any of them, man. I don't.
You don't like the Bucks tonight? Minus the whatever it is now?
It's up to 8, whatever it is. It's up. It's over a touchdown.
It is, yeah. It was a 9.5 I saw, yeah.
Yeah, no. I think they'll clobber Dallas, but I don't. First games, man. First games in the NFL. They're always a little weird. I don't have a good feel for anything just yet.
If Zeke can run tonight, that would be a shocker.
Well, I agree with that. If he is able to run, I would be stunned, and that would be a problem, by the way. If they are able to run, they do have weapons on the edges, so that would create a real issue for us. Because I still, no matter how well that secondary played in the last 6 games last year, that is still an area that you're going to go.
Yeah, they're missing Jordan Whitehead, too, who's always injured.
Yeah.
Always.
A really good player when he's not.
Oh, he is.
But, yeah, you worry about that a little bit. So we'll see. We'll see. Why did Clemson, writes Karen, get a pass in the polls? We were always sent downward when we were in the top 10. Makes me furious. Well, I don't worry about the rankings just yet. They did drop, didn't they?
Now that was like six or something. Yeah.
They had a break. They lost.
It's funny. I don't look at the AP or the coaches poll anymore because we're never in it.
You don't look at the coaches poll?
No. No, sir. I think that's how you turn to stone. Maybe a pillar of salt.
What I would tell you is that there's no shame in losing by seven to Georgia and not give up a single offensive touchdown. That's a battle of two very elite defenses, and that game came down to the fact that Clemson simply cannot block Georgia. And if they play again, they won't be able to block Georgia because this is the problem for dear Clemson. Their offensive line amongst the elite teams in the country is the poorest of those that have a chance to win the national championship. And that means if you're a Clemson fan, you're a little bothered because that ain't going to get better, at least from a matchup standpoint. No, if you were to play, say, Alabama or Georgia again, or Ohio State's front.
Not unless you can fast track a freshman or something along those lines.
Well, they have freshmen in there. That is part of the problem. And he did have a tough go of it.
Got to have more, though. Like Big Rod Johnson, remember? Big Rod Johnson was a big-time difference in 2014.
I love this question because it brings us back to FSU, whom I'm going to talk about when we get into the second segment. But this question, Jalen writes, do you guys think we're ranked in the top 25 after we beat Louisville? And that is, of course, presuming an easy victory this weekend and then another victory, obviously. I think if you beat Wake first.
I believe he's supposing that, yes.
And then follow it up with a win over Louisville, you might have a shot to be ranked because I think a lot of eyes were opened, and I don't necessarily care about being ranked right now. A lot of eyes were opened by the performance of Florida State. That includes, if you look at the national shows, you know, I heard Herb Street talk about us at length. I heard two or three, I can't remember all, I don't need to mention them all, but just flipping around.
Every national show that talked about Florida State said, hey, now.
Yeah, yeah, they opened eyes. This is part of what we talked about, Tom, at the beginning of the summer, which was, if you embrace that this takes longer than you'd like it to because a rebuild does, you can't just flip the roster because you want it flipped. You have to go through the process of getting yeses, having commits, stick to those commits, and then do enough on the field to yield that result, right, to give yourself momentum within the recruiting circles, et cetera. If you accept that you're wanting to see viable progress, proof of, not concept, because that's getting overused these days. I want to go away from that. But, yes, that helps too. But proof that the guys have bought in and they're working together and that the coaching staff is doing a good job of managing their personnel, understanding what they do or do not have. I'll give you a good example of this.
Kind of like proof of concept.
Here's a good example. Mike Norvell obviously knows what he can and cannot call based on what that offensive line can and cannot do. And you see that you see that in the play calling. There's a lot of trick-em to what we're doing, followed by shot plays. We're a trick-ya, shot play. That's what we do.
That's a good song.
That's what we do. This is not a classic, we are bigger and better and stronger, and I'm not going to disguise anything. Here it comes, get you some. That's not what we do.
Also a good song.
Yeah, that's not what we do here. That's the B-side.
Mm.
What we do here is a whole lot of, hey, look at this. Look at all this over here. Oh, look at that creeping on up now. Woo! That's what we do.
That's a terrible pop honky-tonk song.
Yeah, that's an awful song. That's a current country music song. But that's kind
of... Probably bumper for a lot of other shows here.
That's kind of where we're at, right? We cannot do certain things. But I like knowing that that Mike knows that, more importantly. I like that the way we call plays suggests there's a real grasp of the personnel, a real understanding. Now, that could change. That could change with a healthy McKenzie Milton and perhaps a quick passing game, and maybe you develop a drop-back passing game, something like that. You may see a difference in play calling if, in fact, he becomes the regular starter. But in the interim, there are just certain things they can't do.
Well, can I interject that maybe you can run some get-you-some plays against teams not named Notre Dame or Clemson? that's one thing that I'm really interested to see against Wake Forest, Louisville,
yeah, lining
Syracuse,
up and run the ball.
Whatever. I mean, you know, you probably should be able to. But in years past, it didn't matter who the other defensive line was. FBS, FCS.
Correct, correct.
Did not matter.
Yeah.
Couldn't do it.
When they took a segment from the Jeff Cameron show and played it on College Game Day, that's when I was bitching about we couldn't block
Samford.
Samford.
It was a big win for Nice Tire and Auto that day.
Yeah, I remember, I'm like, we can't block Samford.
They did not ask our permission to do that, did ESPN?
No.
They just did it.
They just did it.
But it was funny.
But it was true.
Desmond Howard was like, I like that guy.
Yeah.
We can't block Samford. They're screwed.
They couldn't block Samford. That was a toughie. So let's hope this weekend they can man up and block Jacksonville State and kind of impose their will. Which, oh, by the way, I think they will, guys. This is a... I guess I'm going back to my original point before we get a break, which was that if you embrace all of those things that I just talked about the process and about, you know, seeing signs, evidence of growth and all that, then what you get excited about are these little gains from really solid efforts like the national TV college football analysts of the world pointing out that Florida State looks different. These are little things. You don't need that. You don't need their validation to feel better about yourself. What I'm saying is when something like that happens, it's a reminder. These are little check marks along the way. Like, see, now here we go.
Oh, yeah.
There's growth here. This is fun. Like, we do this with other teams all the time.
You give them a reason, we'll become a darling again in the eyes of the national media.
Well,
it's been a dog's age.
It's good for football when Florida State, good for college football when Florida State matters immensely. It is a... iconic brand.
Oh, yes. With this offense built for playmakers, the physicality, the passion, the service. Remember, this is built on service as well.
Russell writes, high country or hill country? High country, Russell.
Yeah, hill country's in Texas. High country is where
Cameron
lives.
High country. It's Jeff Cameron Show, 93.3 Real Talk Radio, War Chant TV. Happy Redemption Thursday, everybody.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back guaranteed. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
That's the start of the National Football League. Never really gets old. You can play this forever today. Yeah, man. Bucks, Cowboys tonight. We have the Tampa Bay Buccaneers here on 93.3 Real Talk Radio.
That's right. It's going to be a long night for the Cowboys.
I wonder how many people get that reference from Oklahoma State.
Yeah, it's an old Mike Gundy video from 2014.
Great video. It's one of my all-time favorites.
The Cowboy Classic, and he's doing whiteboard stuff for, I think it's the actual university, the athletic department,
yeah,
put these videos together. And there are like four or five plays he shows. They're all touchdown plays. It's another touchdown for the Cowboys.
He says it,
yeah,
with that little effeminate touch. It's,
yeah,
great. Yeah.
And there's one that wasn't a touchdown. He goes, another big play for the Cowboys.
Well, yeah. Not a touchdown, but he works it.
Yep.
I guess I would tell you some plays for tonight's Bucks-Cowboys games would probably be Ronald Jones over 48.5 yards rushing.
Okay.
I'll take that play. If you want some props, I got some props for you. You could turn the Bucks into a two-team teaser or a three-team teaser. I've been looking at teasers because I love teasers. Teasers, pleasers. You know how I feel about those. I get excited with these.
I forgot about you in the NFL. My defenses were not up.
Yeah,
yeah. There's McConaughey.
For a teaser, pleaser.
Yeah, he just made another appearance.
Yeah. So you could tease the Bucks down to -2. Cross those important numbers.
Yep. Anytime he brings up a teaser, henceforth, be ready on the McConaughey.
Yeah,
you can put it up again for the people if they missed it.
Yeah, a little teaser pleaser. There you go. It's just so good. minus two, and then you could take.
He's sweating out the third leg of that. You know, three team teaser pleaser. Come on. You know what he's watching? He's watching Jets and Raiders last year.
Yeah. On the deep ball.
Yep. Greg Williams, I love you.
Beautiful son of a bitch.
Yes.
But you could grab the Rams and tease that down to under two as well.
Ooh, all right.
Teaser pleaser. All of a sudden, you're feeling very comfortable. All you need basically is a Bucks win and a Rams win. Oh, Tom likes the way I sound. Sounds good.
Your attention to detail on the numbers has gone up a lot over the years, but it's been an exponential rise. It's like the algorithm in social media and YouTube. Like, once you hit a certain watermark, it's just to the moon, man. That's been you this year.
We're getting there, baby. Putting in work. All day, every day. I'm
one
gonna
teaser
tell you,
at a time.
All day, every day.
Yeah, that's right.
Hey, student section, good on you. I saw Florida State tweeted out that the student section is already sold out. Good to go.
Okay. The last time the
Let's go, kids.
In 2011, I had a memory pop up on my social media account the other day.
Memory. Yep.
And it said, way to go, students. Because it was like Charleston Southern in 2011, and the student section sold out ahead of time. And I said, way to go, students. And what was that a precursor to? Much better times.
Mm-hmm.
So hopefully there's a correlation in that theory.
At Jay Cameron Show on Twitter, that's what it is. Christopher writes, we need a positive note of the day for the football program. How about points scored against top 10 teams for this entire season so far? FSU versus Clemson. No, wait, the entire ACC. FSU has scored 38 points against top 10 teams. The ACC combined has scored 33 points outside of Florida State.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so he's thrown in the old school positive, used to be positive basketball note of the day. Speaking of which, spoke with Chuck Walsh this morning, and listen, you got to keep it moving. You got to make things happen. I was just getting a little update on the basketball program.
Hey, 2 months from now, they're playing an exhibition game.
I know. I was just weighing in, trying to get a feel for how we're looking over there, how we're feeling, how's everybody doing, how's Ham's...
How's the Houston kid?
Yeah, how's Ham's foot doing, his knee and all that? How's everything going? I'm just checking on everybody.
Yeah.
Yeah, broke it. He tore his Achilles. What do you mean?
I would think he'd be on the mend now,
well,
isn't he? I know.
He's not young.
I know.
And you can't just tear your Achilles.
He's got that tiger blood of
a
35-year-old, though.
Oh, he's amazing, but, you know, when you fall at that age.
Don't say that to him.
No. He'll grab you by the throat. Love you, Ham. He's traveling on the road today. He's busy.
You know, we have the capability now to do that long overdue show from the facility. It's much easier to do now
that we have
our current setup.
Well, and we also have that really nice
equipment
that we could do.
Because the old device was like, it set off all types of alarms in these facilities. Like, I remember when we went to Jerry's World, they're like, what the hell is this? We need to give a specific permission because it's flagged on all of our firewalls.
That's interesting.
Yeah. They did, though. They had the means to do it.
The most impressive thing about Jerry's World all those years ago when we went there and beat Oklahoma State in a game that should have signified just how much trouble we were perhaps going to be in.
Mm-hmm.
Ridiculous. But when that happened, I can still remember you telling me that, we've had to jump through hoops, but these people behind the scenes are the best I've ever dealt with, and they were.
Oh,
remember
yeah.
that? That was insane.
It was absurd.
Greatest internet of all time.
Yep, a lot of their technology
rooms. Quite literally, they were celebrating the fact that they were the best internet of all
time. They were. No, they bragged about it. Come see. I'm like, well, it's just a box with lights on it.
Just,
like, come on,
you're
come
just
going
to tell me how fast this is. That's
we
great.
Upload
I believe you. I trust you.
A terabyte a nanosecond. Yeah. I'm like, okay.
Then they're like, go ahead, try this. I got it. No, look at that. It's already
look at our speedtest.net. It breaks it. It breaks it.
We're going to break the speed net. Yeah. That's, again, was kind of funny. But it was useful.
Yeah.
Very useful.
Oh, the blood and guts rooms where they had all the stuff for the technology looked like an Intel commercial. I was like, what is this?
Well, you know, I'm glad we got to do that because, as I said, this is probably Jerry Jones' last season. So let's everybody make sure that...
You mentioned it tomorrow. I'll throw the hat in the air. It'll be a hatter.
Oh, my goodness gracious. It is weird and odd and difficult. To welcome back the NFL on a Redemption Thursday, because I'm so immersed, as you are and I am and everybody else is, into the college game. And, the, you know, Redemption Thursday is mostly all college today. But after this week, you'll have a much better feel for where people are.
Yeah, I had a hard time in our super contest. We have a mock super contest that's kind of like the one they do in Vegas, where you look at the entire slate, you pick any five games you want against the number. It wasn't very easy. I got to like two, and I was like, I don't know.
Well, it'll make you better, because what'll end up happening is you're going to have to find these, like, pull up that Hawaii game.
Mm-hmm.
That's a good game for you to look at this week, everybody.
What's the number, 11?
That is the number, Tom.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. I like right. that number.
It's a pretty good number.
Yeah, I like that number. Yeah, so that's my point. That's you have to go outside the box and find value. Got to find the value elsewhere.
Growth opportunities.
Yeah, there are real growth opportunities here. All right, I promise.
I can feel it all the way down in my plums.
I promise we will get to FSU in a minute. There's just not a lot for me to report Jacksonville State week, guys. I did like listening to Dillingham yesterday. You know, I don't spend a lot of time on ifollowthekitties.com in terms of the recruiting updates. I do care that Julian Armella is still talking about FSU. That's important. That's very important. I'm paying attention to that.
Well, there are a couple of kids that like Miami, and they won't in about 6 weeks' time. And what are we going to do about it? That would be my number one question. And you can get that question answered tonight on War Chant TV, as there is a live recruiting chat with Michael Langston and Aslan Hadjavandi.
Hey, guys, when you do this, when you call in to Michael and Aslan, ask them two things. And because I want the answers, and I don't feel like calling in.
Oh, boy.
So here's – no, ask them two
After
things.
After our close yesterday, I'm nervous now.
No, don't be nervous. Ask them two things. Ask them how – well, first of all, we're on Miami Quit Watch, because they got blown the hell out, humiliated in week one. And that's usually enough for them to pack it in and call it a day. So we'll see if they just Manny, you're not the guy. We know you're not the guy. We're playing out the string. If that happens, good. We can start grabbing some of their recruits. But keep a close eye on what's happening at LSU as well. This could be the perfect storm, Tom Lang.
Mm-hmm.
This could be the perfect storm. You've got Ed Orgeron, who's on shaky ground, an LSU fan base that does not tolerate nonsense, a program that feels like it's on the precipice of failure, maybe a middling-type campaign at LSU, which is not going to get it done in Baton Rouge. That poor Uber driver is furious right now.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So
I thought we had turned the corner, he said.
Yeah, that's exactly what he said.
You missed your turn, Mr. Driver.
So here's the deal. They're on guys. Miami's on guys. Guys that have already said yes to those two schools. Maybe they want to get with the upwardly mobile program, the one who is well-coached and showing signs of prominence in this not-so-distant future. I want to know who you could pick off from those two schools, either current verbal commits or kids that are heavily involved with those two schools and are a Miami lean or a LSU lean, because surely there are at least three linebackers we could grab.
So you know what's going to happen here? Is I think you're going to call as a ghost name, or you're going to write a comment in as a ghost name, because you want that question answered.
Hey, Michael. Actually, I have to do this. Hey, Michael. This is Jerry.
I knew it.
I'm just kind of wondering.
What's Jerry's last name?
Smith. I'm wondering if we could pick off, a LSU or Miami linebacker who's looking to get with a real program. Some program that's on the verge of playing much better football. That's my question. Thanks, Michael and Aslan. Yeah, there you go.
Let's isolate that video and send it to him.
Send it to him. That's the question I want answered for that show tonight on WarChant.com. It's the Jeff Cameron Show, 93.3 Real Talk Radio. Happy Redemption Thursday, everybody. Hope you're well. Thanks for joining us. I'm Jeff. That is Tom. As I said earlier, Florida State, Jacksonville State. Student section sold out. Maybe it's a better crowd than I'm giving them credit for. I feel pretty confident that Florida State's going to have a good day. A good day in this game. They really match up across the board, as you would suspect. at almost every position. If you want to go to warchant.com, you can see the breakdown for the pass defense versus the opponent passing game. You can go to FSU offensive line versus opponent defensive line. It really is a game where you can play a lot of guys. I would suspect you're going to see a lot of players, including some of the young guys. This is a chance. Remember a number of years ago, what was it, 3 years ago now? Were they maybe more? Time has a way of getting away from me these days, where they instituted the rule that you can, you know, guys that you might even redshirt can play four games.
Yeah, I think that was like 3 or 4 years ago.
Yeah. So these are the kinds of games where you get that valued experience, you know, where if you want to. You can put some kids out there and really give them meaningful reps in a game and not really worry about burning a shirt or anything like that. And they got a lot of young guys that they're excited about who I think in the long run they would certainly probably rather not lose a year on if possible, but they do want to see them play. And who knows, maybe they're guys that can help out in some areas and they will play in some of the bigger games, in particular a couple of safeties.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of guys at most positions. You know, at linebacker is the first position I'd circle. I don't know how many players we have. If you came out of the opening game healthy, at the offensive line. So if Maurice Smith is okay in the long haul and Dylan Gibbons comes out of it all right, then I think you've got enough even to rotate an offensive line where there should be a lot of hungry players out there. We're not deep like we were by any means necessary back in 2013, 14, or even 2015, but you're starting to build the depth that when the next wave of players comes in, if I'm a fan in the stands, I'm still excited to see that next player because they can either help us in the long term or they might be able to help us soon enough.
You're also touching on a point here that describes how programs just get so much better, which is creating the real need to fight for playing time and creating the competition that elevates all players. So, you know, Florida State's in the process, again, of not only evaluating, trying to improve the roster, but forcing guys to really compete for that time. And these are situations where you get a chance to flash. You get a chance to put something on tape. You get a chance to go out there and maybe do something that surprises your coaches and then get another look later on down the line. So, yeah, I'm with you here. These games are good for that. They're good for reps for younger guys. They're good to perhaps get in a little bit better rhythm offensively, certainly at the quarterback position. We'll see if we can get some of that. I frankly want to see both guys play. I do wonder, you know, let's say, because McKenzie has been out there this week, I know, and has participated. I don't want to get in trouble, but yeah.
Well, I mean, the observable time periods that we can report on, yeah, and he's part of those updates.
Yeah. So, they're a full go in that room. So, I'm kind of curious to see how they divide that up.
Yeah, I'd like to get, you know, Chuba or Tate out there, too, whoever won the third position, the third quarterback position on the depth chart.
I want to see a lot of that. Let's be honest here. I think you want to see, well, I know what you want to see because you love the Rodemaker, but he's fourth on this depth chart, so what I need to see is probably a lot of reps for Chuba.
Whoever it is. Like, yes, my love for the Rodemaker aside, he'll be the Rodemaker once he realizes his potential. But it's because these guys are fragile above him. I'm sorry, Jordan. Like, so the reason McKenzie stayed out there was not only because he threw a dime on his first pass after Jordan Travis' helmet came off. Jordan was also cramping in the moment.
Mm-hmm.
And so it made the decision a lot easier for Mike to say, you know what, 10, you go stay out there.
Well, two things happened. That benefited, yeah.
Right, and so let's say you're in a given week and McKenzie's leg just isn't what it could be and what it needs to be in order to play a significant amount of snaps. And then Jordan comes up with something that might hold him out for 3 or 4 plays. Listen, that's like the norm now, right? That's the norm with him. You've got to expect that to some degree. So if that's the case, and as a coach you're preparing for the worst-case scenario, you've got a plan for Chuba to get out there because chances are you're going to need him at some point this season. Hopefully not, but you probably will.
Knock on wood that we don't. But let's point to this here. I think this is interesting just because I crack up when I read quotes like this. Can you see if you can follow this? I'm moving away from Florida State for just a second as we go to break. Follow this quote and tell me if this makes any sense to you. Maybe it does. But rookie wide receiver Ja'Marr Chase has had a really tough preseason as we get set for the NFL season to begin. Dropped a ton of balls. Dropped the last 4 passes that were thrown to him.
That's why I picked up T. Higgins.
So they're days away. This has caused concern. Chase is the 5th overall pick in the draft. Most expected that he and Joe Burrow obviously would hit it off swimmingly. He was asked about the drops, meaning Ja'Marr Chase was, and he had this to say. Well, the ball is different because it's bigger. It doesn't have the white stripes on it either. So you can't see the ball coming from the tip point. You actually have to look for the strings on the ball at the top. That's hard to see because the whole ball is brown, and you have the six strings there that are white. But for the most part, I have to try to get used to it and find out if I could become comfortable catching. Don't answer any more questions, Jamar.
That's a problem. That's not good. If you're working in the media relations team or
Man,
for that
tell
PR.
Tell him to stop talking.
Yep.
Jeff Cameron Show PR firm is coming in here quick.
Well,
coming in hot.
Also maybe a LASIK surgeon.
We're going to have to sit down with Jamar.
It's like the scene in My Cousin Vinny. He's like, when's the last time you got your glasses changed?
Yeah.
It's been about 5 years.
Yeah.
Think it's time for another pair?
Yeah.
No? Well, let's check.
He went on to say, when asked to follow up on that, I'm sure, I don't want to blame it on me sitting on my butt the whole year, but that probably had something to do with it. There's a bigger ball adjustment here. I'm trying not to make excuses. I've got to be a pro and make a catch. Again, my man. Well,
whatever I just said, throw it out the window. He just told you he's not trying. He didn't prepare.
Well, yes. Yes. This is a Jeff Cameron Show PR firm nightmare, Tom Lang. I cannot believe this has happened.
You're going to get called on the Winston Wolf line.
This is going to be a tough one. I mean, we can double our rate as we fly to Cincinnati.
You can name your price.
But we've got to have a long
sit-down. Name your price tool? Yeah. That's you.
We're going to have a long sit-down with the organization and Jamar. How much access the media gets to him. Also certain training about how to answer questions when you're confused.
I need a retainer guarantee of $7.5 million.
This is a tough ask. It's Jeff Cameron Show, 93.3 Real Talk Radio, War Chant TV.
Have you ever experienced turbulence on a flight and wondered why?
And you can see all the terrain around you. You've got no issue with visibility or anything?
No, everything's peachy.
Maybe you've sat on the tarmac for hours wondering why your plane isn't moving.
Well, we're outside here. They're saying the ramp is closed. They won't let us park because of Air Force One.
Listen in on the conversations between pilots and air traffic controllers on the Air Traffic Out of Control podcast.
510 is declaring an emergency. There's smoke in the cabin. I need to make a landing right now on 31 left.
We have the most interesting, wild, and funny ATC recordings you will ever hear. Check out Air Traffic Out of Control wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
Yeah, I could see this. That's interesting suggestion here. As to how you go about the business of starting, my man, Maverick Helmets. Good afternoon, gents. Thoughts on maybe starting Milton Saturday for the first half, then letting Jordan take the second half, get some rest for KZ heading into Wake. Yeah, I'm fine with that.
I totally agree. You don't want him playing a full game. I mean, even
you don't need him to.
Hopefully, we don't. And even if we did, I don't know that you want that. You know, I don't know that that's going to be. Moving forward, let's just say that he's able to practice all week long. Do you think that that's good policy to have McKenzie run 85 plays a week? I think that's asking a lot, given what we know about load management in camp.
Yeah, I think you're going to have to be very careful, and I don't know enough about what the specific problems are with him to say what they should or shouldn't do. I'm being very careful about that. I have a tendency to overstate things. I'm a boisterous person and all of that, but I don't know. You know, I'd really like to know, is this something that gets better over time when you rep it? You know how sometimes there's a soreness to a muscle, but there's no injury to the muscle. There's no damage. And the more you rep it, the more you work out the pain, and it gets easier. It's almost like lifting weights, right, over time. I don't know if we're dealing with a situation like that or if it's something much different. You know, if you were to hypothesize that, let's say it was, it was nerve damage of some sort or something.
Yeah,
you know,
like a pitcher in his shoulder or something.
Yeah. So there are things that I just don't know about the nature of his situation that doesn't really allow me to have much of an opinion on that. I think that is common sense that you're right. If you were trying to figure out ways to slowly build him to a place where he could handle the excess reps, then you would limit it.
Well,
you'd build slowly.
To use common sense, it's one of two things. It is an issue that is related to now ramping up the body, and it's almost like a compensation issue that's new and could be treated, or it's been several years and this is just the way he's going to live. I think those are your two options as to what it could be. Either way, we need McKenzie in more games, not fewer games.
So whatever
can get him in the most amount of games possible, which I would think you don't need to be on a pitch count like it's 50 plays, like you're Steven Strasburg in his rookie year or something.
Right.
But it's probably best policy to say, hey, you don't need to play start to finish in every one of these things.
My wish for him, my hope for him, is that it's something that allows him to build slowly towards more reps, more time under center, more days at practice, more moments with the first team. Because if he's going to blossom to become the guy that we thought he would be when we got him to transfer in here, then he, you know, he'll have to be your primary guy at some point. You're gonna want to have a drop back passing game. If we can block it up.
Big if
indeed. Hour number two forthcoming. Stay with me.